8357. Strangest of all, the upper realm, the macrometasoma, seems to be this realm, this world of the dialectic of flux, seen another way, as if the Gnostics are right, and to see it healed is to cause it to be healed. Could this be the observer-participant universe of quantum mechanics? Reality is what you see it as the exegesis of science fiction quotes me, is what you perceive it to be, i.e., your perception of it changes it. Well, this would make the Gnostics right. To see unity is to cause repair, the ontological value of knowledge. So I am saying, to see the secret partnership is to cause the secret partnership. You reconcile the dialectical strife in you, the two brain hemispheres, and thereby cause it to be reconciled in world, which is to say, ground of being itself. Since you yourself are a part of spark, the ground of being, that explains it. That is the only way that your perception of reconciliation could in itself as perception cause reconciliation. And the basis of your doing this is anamnesis. You cease to forget that you are part of the ground of being. 8358. Ach, weh. Note. German. Oh, woe. End note. This structure that I speak of literally occurs in your act of perceiving it. So, Warwick was somewhat right about Valis. My good God. This means that the override in 374 vis-a-vis the Xerox missive was a self-causing loop. Neither efficient cause was at work, which has been obvious to me, but also not future or retrograde cause. It was self-generating, ultimate homeostasis. It caused itself. I'm not sure of my reasoning, but I realize it's true. I set up a perturbation in the reality field by thinking about it, so to speak. The information had no source. The needed information that I lacked that came into existence, it was self-caused. We are talking about ex nihilo information. Information that generates itself. No wonder it's so erratic. 8360. Then the acts material in tears was self-causing. No one put it there. No wonder I haven't been able to figure 374 out. Every theory changes the events. I was right when I was on Superdope. Then I favored the theory that Diana, the queen of the fairies, helped me. Now I prefer and find more workable the theory that it was the Holy Spirit revealing to me the cosmic Christ, Valis. There's one thing I know it is. The Mysterium Coniunctionis. Note. Latin. Mystery of Conjunction. A Jungian term for the alchemical uniting of opposites. End note. In Burma's terminology, or Eckhart, who cares? You have become the Father, not the Son. Therefore, you are the Creator again. As impossible as it may seem, the acts materials in tears was self-generating, a kind of tracing due to principles of physics that we simply do not understand, related to synchronicity. And as to the cipher King Felix, that too is a tracing. But this information is alive or semi-alive, like a virus. Burroughs is right, but he has only a bit of the whole picture. Still, there is such a thing as living latent information that somehow is an acausal analog of reality. 8369, September 3, 1980. Regarding Eliade. A mythological event unfolds in another kind of time, illo tempore, etc. Note. Latin for in that time, that is mythical or sacred time, as in the stock phrases in the beginning or once upon a time. Mercier Eliade used the expression to refer to traditional religious attempts to escape or annul profane time, understood here as linear temporality, or what we now call history, and return to the sacred time referenced in myth and reenacted in religious ritual, always capable of being remembered and so reactualized, hence Dick's constant invocation of anamnesis within the narratives of myth and the actions of ritual. Like the Eucharist, sacred time is essentially no time or beyond time. We might say, then, that what Iliad imagined in his comparative theorizing, Dick seems to have realized in his experience of Valis. But this may be much too simple, as Iliad once noted that his own dissertation researches and early experiments with yoga taught him the reality of experiences that cause us to step out of time and out of space. Ordeal by Labyrinth, Conversations with Claude-Henri Roquet, 1982. In short, there was also an experiential subtext to Iliad's theorizing. He was not simply speculating. He was also confessing. And it was this experiential, essentially mystical subtext that I think Dick was intuiting. Illo tempore, as it were, in his repeated embrace of Iliad. JJK. End note. Therefore, if you can get yourself into a mythological narrative, you will enter this dream time as opposed to entering dream time and, by means of that, entering the myth. The entree to dream time is to reenact the myth. I accidentally did this in 2374 vis-a-vis Acts due to 1. Tears and 2. The girl with the fish necklace. These plunged me into that other kind of time, and so I saw world under that aspect, i.e., made eternal and holy, and experienced anamnesis. Also, the Xerox missive somehow acted toward being a part of the mythic ritual. The message opened in red? Perhaps some myth I don't know? So I got into mythic time by reenacting the sacred myth, and, having done so, saw world under that aspect, e.g., the blood of the cosmic Christ, Rome, the secret real Christians. I fell into the myth by chance and entered the realm of the sacred. 8370. The Xerox missive is part of the Gnostic legend of the Pearl, the letter to the prince who has lost his memories in an alien land, which restores those memories. This legend is actually a sacred myth, right? The letter, coupled with the golden fish sign, restored my memories due to my faithful participation in this complex sacred mythic rite of anamnesis and rebirth. No wonder I expected the letter to come. I knew it because, on an unconscious level, I knew the myth, collective unconscious. So all this took a Gnostic turn. The cryptic sign, golden fish, the letter reminding me of my mission, albeit a profane pig spurt one, the myth sanctified it, turned a profane thing into something noumenal. Or was it? In any case, its mundane nature is not so important as its mythic role. And that fired correctly, a series of coincidences and accidents. Tears, the pentathol, the girl, the fish sign, the Xerox letter, which very much seemed to call to me from the archaic past and to deal with my real identity. And since it was noumenal, it sparked a divine or spiritual, pneumatic identity in me. The value, or one value, of this explanation is the why me solution. God did not choose me for any reason, such as merit or need on my part. Chance played the determining role in selecting me. Chance actions on my part, alone, without a priest or guide. I re-performed an ancient myth, whose nature I still do not fully understand. Mainly, it had to do with a letter which both informed me of something about myself, my actual nature and actual origins, and posed a grave problem that I had to solve. Had there been no letter, there would have been no other universe, no altered, enhanced perceptions, no second signal, likewise for the golden fish sign, likewise for the time of year. Likewise, in fact, for my burning a votive candle at a holy shrine. That this was indeed, then, an authentic religious experience, I now cannot doubt. It was not precisely mystical, certainly not psychotic, certainly not a drug experience, although a component necessary for it to happen may have been the washing out from my system of the mellow jello. I can't be sure. Note. In Divine Invasions, Lawrence Sutton describes mellow jello as a disorientation drug that Dick claimed had been stolen from the Army and that may have motivated the 1971 break-in, possibly a reference to the notorious military deliriant BZ. 3. Quinoclidinyl benzylate. End note. I can look at it this way. God approached me through the medium of the sacred mythic rite reperformed. Reperformance of that rite put me in touch with the divine, and in fact the divine realm. But it must never be forgotten that absolute faith amounting to knowledge, knowledge of the divine, was the essential first step. Without it, reperforming the rite would have accomplished nothing. What I say of this is, there is another universe, and through such reenactment of sacred ritual as I accidentally engaged in, you can enter it and commune with the gods. This is recognized by, e.g., Eliade. But how many civilized people have experienced it? We have lost the techniques, the gnosis. Now what do I say about the novel Valis? It is about this voyage on the axis of another kind of time. And what is this other kind of time like? I perceived the phylogons and the fact that nothing that is past truly ceases to be, but rather is added to progressively. Accretional layers are laid down, becoming ever more reticulated and arborized. This is the main discovery, this permanence of past and present reality, hence all reality. Flux only adds, it does not take away. 8376. The space-time world of this sacred time is found in the Bible as the Book of Acts. Thus, when I wrote Tears, I discerned this stratum, showing through in a ghostly fashion as the basis of reality. Acts describes the power of Rome as expressed in the procurator Felix. He interrogates his prisoner Paul. Paul is under arrest and in the hands of the Roman authorities. He will eventually be released. This is the supertemporal template, the power and presence of Rome, the procurator, the prisoner who is interrogated and finally released. The empire would like to destroy him, but in the final phases of the encounter between them, fails. Thus the life of the prisoner ends not in martyrdom, but in freedom, in release. This is, in a sense, an opposite story from that of the crucifixion, where the prisoner is condemned to death and dies. Here the prisoner is set free, and this means that sacred time has moved forward from the time of the Gospels to a different time. The prisoner slides through the fingers of the empire. This story is found in the life of John Taverner, the 15th century English musician, who was arrested on suspicion of possessing heretical books, but then released because he is not a musician, as Cardinal Wolsey put it. The empire has lost the ability to state its case. It cannot close the trap. The later history of this archetype will be that the empire will lose even more power. Eventually, it will not even be able to arrest its victim, let alone crucify him. That time has not yet come. At this point, the empire, expressing itself through its police system, is puzzled by its victim. It suspects him of wrongdoing, but does not know what that wrongdoing is. The empire does not know enough. Its information is too limited. So for it, the victim is an enigma. The evolution from Pilate's bewilderment in confronting Jesus can be seen. Bewilderment was there already. The procurator Felix interrogates the suspect but cannot determine from what he says what precisely he has done. Time passes. The Empire tries again and again to get information but fails. This is Kafka's The Castle in reverse. In talking to the suspect, the prisoner, the procurator begins to suspect that the prisoner himself does not know what he has done. He himself does not know if he is guilty, and if guilty, of what? The prisoner cannot tell the procurator what he would like to know, even if the prisoner is willing to. This increases the puzzle. Perhaps the enemy of the Empire is so large and so vague that the prisoner is not the adversary at all, but only a sort of front for it, an extension of it. This, for the procurator, is a dreadful thought. The archetype of this is Euripides' The Bacchae, in which the King of Tears arrests the stranger, only to find that he has a priest of the god Dionysus in his prison. The priest as the god bursts the prison and drives the king into insanity, such as to cause him to lose his identity even as a man. The king, or the procurator, can release the prisoner, but he himself will suffer great harm. Instead of Christ crucified, Pilate suffers unbearable loss. Time, which starts with the Gospels, has moved forward to what is almost a complete reversal of the image. The arrested and tried God does not die. The interrogator suffers spiritual death or physical injury. The prisoner goes free. Everything that the prisoner lost is restored to him. This is referred to in the Bible as the end times day on which everything is restored. It is a sign of the parousia. The Empire is not glad to know this because it means that God himself is taking the field. God is entering the battle. And yet there is a further level of reality disclosed by sacred time and the realm governed within that time. A cosmos, in the sense that Pythagoras spoke of it, is being completed, self-completed, from the flux process visible in mundane time. This is the noumenal world that Plato and Parmenides spoke of as being in contrast to the sensible, empirical world. The person lifted into sacred time perceives a priori this edifice that is alive and growing. This cosmic organism that is Christ himself as the head and Lord of creation. Christ as cosmos. This is the final mystery. Thus, the person who correctly performs the mythic rite, and does so with absolute faith, encounters the God whom he worships as world rather than anthropomorphic figure. In the final vision, Christianity becomes indistinguishable from Brahmanism, because in this encounter with the cosmic Christ, the worshiper is himself a Christos, a microform of the risen Lord. And then finally, above even this, which eventually will be presented to God, is the Simplice Lume that Dante speaks of. One simple flame. God is the book of the universe, whose pages are scattered throughout. The sacred history itself forms a narrative that can be discerned, but it is obscured by the normal flux. Everything is written down and has been written down from the beginning, as the Jews knew from the disclosure of the Torah. Basically, sacred history exists as information, first in terms of temporal sequence, first in order of ontology. The mythic ritual is an entry key into the sacred narrative. It functions the way an entry key of a computer functions vis-a-vis a given program. This narrative can be entered from any point in mundane time by the correct entry key, which in itself tells a story or part of a story, part of the master narrative, which, as I say, is information out of which reality is generated. What interests me is the apparent fact that there are a number of sacred narratives, not one, so that different entry keys, which is to say different mythic rites, punch you into different narratives, which is to say different meta-realities. For example, Christianity is only one narrative of many. The war between the Empire and its prisoner, who in early chapters is crucified, but later on is released unharmed. This is not the sacred narrative, but a sacred narrative. Christianity, then, as a sacred history, is not the truth, but a truth, which can be avoided or punched into, either by design or by accident. I punched into it by accident. Now I come across another and never-before-suspected computer aspect of Valis, that it contains a number of sacred histories, which is to say sacred narratives, not just one, and different mythic rites reperformed key punch you into entry into particular narratives among the plural narratives, and I call these programs. Which, as I put it, means that Christianity is not the truth, but only one sacred narrative, which is to say, one sacred history of the plural number. But how can there be plural histories of the world? How can Valis contain more than one sacred book, to use Dante's term? I punched into Christianity because of the particular mythic rite I reenacted. Had I reenacted another mythic rite, I would have punched into another sacred narrative, which is to say, program. This thing is an information processing computer, or computer-like entity. What I have in tears is not the truth, but just a narrative. But it is a Torah-like narrative. It is not the book of the universe world, but a book. It is one out of many. This is extraordinary. I had last night solved 374. I thought so today. Now I'm back to square one, or anyhow square two. It's a good thing. I've been keeping notes. So we have the key to history turning into a key to history. But how can there be several alternate keys to history, unless these are computer programs being run simultaneously? If you have one sacred history, you have revelation. But if you have several, you have a mystifying discovery, which is one puzzle solved, but a greater one disclosed.